Blog Talk Radio.
Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here. We thank God for all of you who are tuned in to Truth Ministry. So we'd like to thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Facebook friends and followers, and all of our LinkedIn connections and followers. We thank God for you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we just thank God that we're here. Another day, it's because of the mercies of the Lord. We are not consumed. For his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. As the weeping prophet Jeremiah cries out in Lamentations, those words. So we'd like to know, you to know, for you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, as we call him. And he's writing to the church at Ephesus, people who are already spirit-filled, people who have already had the experience, as people call, Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is the 50th day of the Passover. Jesus rose from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days, went back to heaven. 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost to fulfill the prophecy of Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that's why he said, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night during his earthly ministry, he was saying, no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus got right to the point. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he was saying, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Which is a ridiculous statement that Nicodemus made. So he goes on. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, he goes on to say. And he goes on to let him know, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's the key right there. When you're born again, your spirit, your body, soul, and spirit, your spirit is born again. So, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, or don't wonder at what I'm saying. You must be born again. And he goes on to give an analogy. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So there is a sound with the wind, and there is a feck where the wind touches. That's what he's saying. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So born again experience, being water baptized, as Peter goes on to let them know, when they ask, what shall we do in Acts 32 and 36 and 37, he let them know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, talking about the Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He exhorted and testified with many other words. I love this phrase right here that he said. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Salvation is an individual responsibility. You can take it upon yourself. You're going to make your mind up. I'm going to walk with God. No one can stop you or hinder you. But it's your choice. If God be for us, who can be against us? So thank God. So as we continue on, we're continuing on. Of course, our theme is the Godhead, and we're still talking about the early church. So we are going through the Acts of the Apostles. And so should you desire to comment, you have a comment or a question, you are welcome. And our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we're moving on. Last week we talked about the council at Jerusalem. So they were talking about there were Jews and proselytes trying to tell people, except they be circumcised, they couldn't be saved, trying to take them back into the law of Moses. Actually, even farther back, the circumcision was given to Abraham. But in the New Testament church, we explained it on last week, that the word of God is quick. That means it's living, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Talking about the word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talking about the word of God. And so the circumcision is that of the heart, whose praise is not of men, but that of God. We read out of the book of Romans. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Notice what I said in Hebrews 4 and 12, he said it's quick, it's living and alive, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is the only thing that can divide the soul and spirit. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the sword of the Spirit, which is one of the armor that you take, the only piece of armor that you actually go on the devil's territory with, and that is the word of God. He says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you're on the offense when you have the sword of the Spirit. So when you hear the word, you're pricked in the heart. That's what happened to them as I was reading there on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:36 and 37, somewhere in there, they said, when they heard this, Peter was preaching Jesus unto them, they were pricked in the heart, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? So And you, the only thing can prick you is the word of God. So the word which liveth, Peter says, and abideth forever. He says the prophecy came not in the old time in Peter's letter by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So definitely he was an apostle, talking about Peter, and he had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which the master gave to him. Told him, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. And the church has binding and loosing power. So, and incidentally, when you go on, so many people just, you. That's why I have in my bio, when you go to the website, blogtalkradio.com, truth, I have in there that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. Because too many people, they just says, two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. You got to go and see what they're talking about. That's in the 18th chapter of Matthew. It's talking about forgiveness in the local church. You went through the proper procedures. Someone offends somebody, they went to them. They took somebody else with them. They didn't hear them. So it says, tell it to the church or the board of elders or the deacon board, whatever terminology you want to use. So that's when he goes on to say, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, whoever they are, the board of deacons, the board of elders, he said, they shall have it of my Father which is in heaven. He goes on to say, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of. And so I'm there, and that's why they're going to have what they ask. They're going to resolve this matter. And the reason why they're going to resolve this matter that they're discussing, they're going to agree, and it's going to be resolved because I'm in the midst. That's why it's going to be resolved. So this is what the master is saying. So we're just so glad to be here on another session of Truth Ministry. And so we're going on today. We're still talking about the early church, and we're in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, which was written by Saint Luke, the beloved physician. He wrote Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So today's lesson would be the vision at Macedonia, the vision at Macedonia. And also, Paul and Silas put in prison. So, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about on this evening. And again, you are tuned to Truth Ministry, and I am your spokesman, Elder Michael E. Cannon, the spokesman for the King of Glory for this broadcast. So we're going to move on to do a little, bring you in. From last week, we were talking about circumcision in a council at Jerusalem. So they go on here. I made mention about this letter that they wrote. Men and brethren, Apostle Paul said here, for as much as ye have heard that certain men went out from us, having troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no commandment. We didn't tell you all that. It's what they're saying. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by my mouth. So he goes on here, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, and from which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well, at the end of that letter. So when they had dismissed, they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle or the letter, which when they had read, they rejoiced in the of the consolation, or for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and comforted them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide still there. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after Paul and Barnabas, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, talking about John Mark, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, talking about Paul and John Mark, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now remember now, he could do this because he was an apostle. He was definitely, and this is the early church that we are talking about. And that was his mission from the Lord himself. So he was, just like he said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles in the 11th chapter of Romans. And he went on to say, I magnify my office. So he had the power and he had the authority. He was Matthias took the place of Judas when he fell by transgression. But we go on here, Apostle Paul was chose to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So scripture will support scripture when the word of God is silent. We don't add nothing to it. So we don't know what happened to Matthias, who was numbered with the 11 in the book of Acts when they cast lots, or which means they cast a vote. See, so it is. I remember when President Obama, at that time, Senator Barack Obama was running for president. So we were sitting around, and my adult sons, I believe everybody was there except for one that lives out of town at that particular time. So we were talking, and somebody was saying, like, you actually think that he's going to get elected? I said, and God gave me the scripture. I said these words, if he's God's man, he's going to be elected. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's Proverbs 16 and 33. The lot, that's the vote, is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So in other words, God is the one who impresses the hearts of the people to get his man. And I remember a long time ago, one of our bishops, he's gone on to be with the Lord. This was probably in the 80s, because he died in 1990. And he made a statement one time. He said, I know who the next president is going to be. Naturally, you know, like they say, ears rose. People's like they, you know, we say a dog ears stand up. So people wanting to hear, like, what is he talking about? He said, I know who the next president's going to be. Two words, God's man. God's man. So that's how God operates. So the point being, Apostle Paul had the authority. So that's why you have to be careful. And you always try to, it's a fight, because you got to get in here. This is the truth when it's rightly divided. So people want to make themselves important or make a name for themselves. And that's why it's a hot subject. It is a hot subject when you say, and it's the truth, there are no apostles today. And people have named themselves apostles. No such of a thing, not today. While men slept, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Talking about the apostles, that's what that's talking about. Okay, so we're moving on here in our lesson. So we still like for you to know, should you desire to call in, you have a comment or you have a question, you are very welcome. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So we're going to move on here because time is definitely moving. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. We believe this is the same Timothy, Timotheus, who wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy. Apostle Paul wrote to, he called him his son in the gospel. He was a preacher. The son of a certain woman who was a Jewish and believed, and his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all his father. They knew all that his father was a Greek. So that's just the point. He done that for conscience sake, and for place that he was, so he wouldn't be hindered to preach the gospel. Now that didn't save him. He had to believe the word of the Lord. Like Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So he had to believe the gospel like everyone else in the New Testament church has to, and that is repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So he goes on here, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and the elders, which were at Jerusalem. So remember, just like I've said, notice now, they had their headquarters was at Jerusalem. And so that is always has and always will be God's holy mountain. It's not Rome. So we go on here. So and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Remember now, we're talking about the early church. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they came and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So this is what we're talking about today, the vision at Macedonia. So we're going on here, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. This is Luke writing, into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Nicopolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of the Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a river, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In other words, they persuaded, they stayed. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. You know what that sounds like? Some of these 900 numbers, people calling in, wanting their fortune told and all that crazy stuff. So the same followed Paul and us, talking about this damsel with the spirit of divination, which was a soothsayer, followed Paul and us and crying. Now, listen to this. Now, this is an unclean spirit in this woman, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. Remember what I just said? That was an unclean spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them down to the to the magistrates, saying, These men being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And a multitude rose up together against them and the magistrates and rent their off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. In other words, they put shackles on them where they couldn't move. So the inner prison. So I did, if you've been following me any length of time, I've done prison ministry. So the prisons we have nowadays are not like those that they had, but you got many wards or sections that you're in there that you got to go through to get out. You just can't walk out. We used to laugh because I've done 20 years of prison ministry. I did the first couple of years was men's prison ministry that I'd done, and off and on that I did go to men's prisons. But the prison that we initially started off in, they changed it into a women's facility. So we used to laugh. We'd have a big service where a group of people from our church would come, and especially the women, and we used to say, okay, you know, like the men, we're on our way out, like, oh, no problem for us getting out. We're going to get out. You know, there's no hang-up or nothing, because they know we're not, this is a women's facility is what I'm saying. So they want me out of here. They got to really check you out, you know, the females. Because it is a women's prison, so you got to have all your ID, as we would say, all your ducks in order to get out of there. So this she did many days. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her," and he came out. So we go on here. We see that they cast them into prisons, into prison. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in stocks, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang, prayed first. So that's why the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So you like they take prayer, they took prayer out of school. You know, they don't want to have, they used to have prayer before and graduation, a commencement, we call it. They just, these anti-God people just fought the Lord so bad. They fought against that. They don't want prayer. So in other words, we're not going to acknowledge God. We don't want to pray because the devil knows what that is. Somebody's going to get a prayer through. But the whole good thing about the whole matter is you can take it out. You can take it out where they can't stand up publicly and say a prayer, but you can't take it out of someone's heart. So it's like I say, I'm cursing devils right now in the name of Jesus in my heart. So you don't stop praying. So your spirit is what prays. So we go on here. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So we say, I've heard a message a long time ago. One of our bishops preached, the God of drastic changes. Oh, yes, he can change things in a moment. And that moment I'm talking about is not a minute, like what we would say. This is what's going to happen when the church is taken out of the earth. We shall not all sleep, Apostle says, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. So that moment he's talking about is not a minute. It's before you could bat your eye. So God works suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So that don't, you're a prison, you're a guard in the prison. See, this is why Peter said, he talks about when he wrote his letter, he says, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. So that word kept is a military term. The soldiers are keeping you. Is what it, so in other words, God is keeping us by his power. He has the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and deliver them. It's like Jesus said before his crucifixion, he shall I not presently pray now unto the Father? And he presently will send more than 12 legions of angels. So we have thousands of angels. So point, like somebody said, some of them aren't, you're not using them to do nothing. So they do encamp around about us and deliver us. So they're marching. Yes, they are. So there was a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately the doors were open. Everyone's bands was loose. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. So in other words, he knows he's in trouble because they may kill him. They may execute him. Whatever their laws were, you don't let the prisoners get away. Now, it's not like nowadays, people escaping out of these prisons. And so that's the thing that they have such sharp, they call barbed wire. They use that, incidentally, they have barbed wire fences to keep cattle and horses in. They're not going to mess with that because you stick your nose on that, it's going to cut you. So they have it like looped. It's wrapped all around the top of these fences and these prisons because they have different security levels, but they don't want no one to be able to walk out. They have that barbed wire. You try to crawl out, you're going to get cut up so bad, you're going to definitely need medical attention. So these guards knew they were in trouble because you don't let no one escape from prison. So he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. So they didn't want to run away. So God, he knew God had done that. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't talking about being saved. This is like a double, you could call it a double reference prophecy. He's talking about, they don't kill me, man. I'm in trouble. This place is open. Everybody can walk away. And they said, what he had in mind, but they had something. God sets up a situation. God had something else in mind. That was the salvation of the jailer's soul. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. They spake unto him. Notice here, see, because people just say, just believe. No, when you believe, you got to notice every scripture must be a precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. That's in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. So in other words, what he's saying, one rule goes with another rule, goes with another rule, goes with another rule. Pay very close attention to repetition. So he goes on here. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. Catch this. The next part is essential. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So this is why the Bible say, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How are you going to believe? How are you going to believe on him whom you not heard? How shall you hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? So he goes on here, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. That word straightway means right away. That word straightway means immediately. They didn't wait till the fourth Sunday and all this kind of foolishness. Today, like in the 95th Psalm, says today is the day of salvation. Today, after so long a time, talking about in the day of will in provocation in the wilderness, today, if thou will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What is his voice? His voice is his word. So he go on here. So they took them, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his house. When he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So in only one way they were baptized. So you can't jump out of the Gospels and high jump over into Romans talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. No, Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, whom he had heard of their faith. That's why he went on to say, I'm debtor to the Greek and also to the Jew and also to the Greek. As much as lie of me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. He had heard of their faith. So he goes on, he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He goes on, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, talking about in the gospel, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And he's referring back to Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So he had heard of their faith. So these people he wrote to, they were already saved. So the epistles are for the people of God who are already saved, to teach them how to walk right, how to talk right, what you already have, the order in the church. The Gospels is to bring us out. The book of Acts is to bring us in to the church. The epistles is to show us how to walk and to stay out of the world and to stay out of sin, to keep ourselves spotless from the world. So in other words, we're not participators of sin. We're not recovering sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God. So only way they're baptized was in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which is the way that Jesus said that you must be born again. And you got to put everything together. You got to realize that he gave the word unto the 12. And the real Lord's Prayer is in the 17th chapter of St. John. I don't pray for these, but I pray for all of them which shall believe on us through their word. See, the model prayer, when he said, Our Father which art in heaven, that's the model. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Don't repeat what I said, but you pray after this manner. But the Lord's Prayer is in the 17th chapter of St. John. So go on here. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, magistrates have sent to let us go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? It's a question. Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out. I'm telling you, this man sat at the feet of Gamaliel talking about St. Paul. He knew the law, and he was not going to be just done any old kind of way. And so just like there's a scripture in Proverbs 25:11 that says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. It's like gold apples and silver pitchers. So Apostle Paul knew he was going to dot every I and cross every T. He was not playing. That's why he said, 1 Corinthians 8:2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So he knew what he was talking about. So he goes on here, and the Sergeants told these words unto the magistrates. They feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. That was the seller of purple. Previously, we read about. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And as his manner was, Paul, as his manner was, went into in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom we preach unto you is Christ. What does that mean? He is the anointed one. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is Messiah. He is the God that I read about when I come on the air. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. In St. John, the 1st chapter, and the world knew him not. In the 14th verse, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That means he became the Father of. He is the one. Luke 1:35, when Mary says she got the consolation from Elizabeth, says a power of the highest. She said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, I'm not having relations with a man. This was the Virgin Mary. Says, how shall this be? Said, the power of the highest shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee. Luke 1:35, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the operative word. So we know that people don't understand. Ain't no two gods. Ain't no three gods. It's one God. And he's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. That's why the writer wrote Isaiah 7:14, says the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, Matthew picked it up, is God with us. So he came into the world that he made. That's why the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The subject ain't Jesus. The subject is God, which we know he is God in the flesh. So he goes on here, I preach unto you, this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. That means it was a lot. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, looked on them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these men, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. When Jason had received, and these all due contrary, I'm sorry, Jason had received, these all due contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. So, that's what they say, you know, talking about that Jesus told them during his earthly ministry, give tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor. Like he told Peter to go get that fish, and when you take the money out and the inscription is on it, Caesar. And that's what he's saying, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. So they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And talking about, okay, these, now what we're talking about now are the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In other words, a whole bunch of them. When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode still there. And they cried and conducted Paul, brought him into Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. So now, you want to get technical, that's breaking the law of Moses. God said, don't have no other God before me. Don't bow down. Don't, you know, to worship no image that you made. And he always hated that. And he said, don't have no other God before me. So nowadays, you can make a God out of things. You don't put God as a jealous God. He said that. So in other words, you got to love the Lord thy God. That when they say, what is the first and great commandment? The Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. To love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, what the church is built upon, what the church is motivated by, is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that everything should be motivated by love. So his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So just, you have skeptics and agnostics and all kinds of individuals. They don't believe in God, but they want other people to believe the same way that they do. Everybody's going to have to give an account to himself, to God. Everyone has going to have to stand before God. It's once appointed on the men to die, Hebrews 9 and 27, but after this, the judgment. So judgment begins at the house of God, Peter says, and if judgment begin on us, what shall the end of those be that obey not the gospel? And he goes on to say, but if the righteous scarce to be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So what is he saying? That the righteous are going to have their difficulties. So judgment is now. We judge ourselves. So that's what we are in God's word, praying, searching ourselves daily, keeping our hearts right, so we'll be able to fly when the Lord, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. And so this is what it is all about. So we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the church, and First and Second Corinthians, the church is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards done in their body. Now, that's why we talked about the first resurrection. It's imperative to make the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the body of Christ, because you want to be blessed and holy as he that hath part in the first resurrection. This is what John writes in the book of the Revelation. They shall be kings and priests and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the rest of the dead is not going to live until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. He goes on to say, this is the first resurrection. So you want to be in the first resurrection. The second resurrection, everybody is going to be awakened out of their sleep. The dead are not in heaven. They're in a state of unconsciousness. That's why it's going to be a resurrection. That's where it's such that's a death lick in the foolishness and folly of people. You go to funerals, yeah, so-and-so, they're looking down on us, cheering us on. No, they ain't. They're right there in front of you. God is going to redeem our soul from the power of the grave. That's why it's going to be a resurrection. Only one man got caught up to heaven. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and Elijah was taken into heaven by a whirlwind. Moses, when he died, the Lord buried him. So there is no one in heaven. The angels are in heaven. And then that's another thing. The Bible says that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Moreover, 99 that need no repentance. What is he saying? Angels, they ask the question, what is man, thou mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visited him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowning him with glory and honor, that he, through the grace of God, might taste of death for every man. Talking about Jesus, he didn't take on him the seed of Abraham, he didn't take on him the nature of angels. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Talking about the human family. So, angels, they don't understand. So there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Moreover, of 99 that need no repentance, God is rejoicing over one sinner that repents. It's joy in the presence of the angels. So got to understand who is rejoicing. So we're going on here. I lost my place. So Paul, he was taken holy. His spirit was stirred in him because the city was taken holy in idolatry. So therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. So remember now, they done got out of jail. They had been preaching, and the masters of the color of the soothsayer woman, color of purple. The spirit, the color of purple, that was Lydia. But the woman that had the spirit of damnation, of divination, she bought her master's gain by soothsaying. So they got put in prison because of that. They were mad about that because she got saved. So therefore, disputing he in the synagogue and with the Jews, with the devout persons in the marketplace daily, met with them. Certain philosophers of Epicureans, also of the Stoics, encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Talking about Paul. And I got to fly on here because our time is almost gone. Some said, he seemeth to be set forth of a strange God because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest of. Talking about teaching. Therefore, bringing certain strange things to our ears, which we know, therefore, what we would know, therefore, what these things meant. All the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time and nothing else but to either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. I passed by and I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things that hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, had determined the things of times before appointed the bounds of their habitation. Remember now, we are all made of one blood. He goes on to say this here. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitation. Now, the subject is God, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He goes on here to say, for in him we live and move and have our being. Talking about in God, and certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. Talking about God. Now, remember now, always my subtopic is the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things. This is it's only in the Bible three times, and here is one place we're going to read. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by man's art, by art and man's devices. And I got to fly on here. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Talking about Jesus, who is the Christos, the Christ, the anointed flesh of God. When they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and Aparche, and the women named Damaris and other with him. So our time is gone for today. So we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. I believe I'll say that again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.